Taylor Kessner, and today I'll be discussing a book called The Design Way by Harold G. Nelson and Eric Stolterman. The book, originally published in 2012, opens with the line, "Humans did not discover fire, they designed it." This book makes a case for the development of a unique design culture through which we can more actively, intentionally, and effectively make purposeful changes to our environment. The outline of this podcast is as follows. I'm going to start by going into shallow depth about the five main parts of the book. Then I'm going to outline the premise of the book. And finally, I'm going to go through each section in a little bit more depth. From the beginning of this podcast, it's important to note that I'll be operating under the assumption that teachers are designers. Throughout, I'll be dipping back and forth between this book on design and teaching as practice to discuss implications for and thoughts on K-12 education. Let's get started. The premise of the book is that any time you engage in the creation of something new, you are engaging in design work. Furthermore, current intellectual traditions, the authors claim, are ill-suited by themselves for tackling the primary design task of creating novel solutions. That is, working intentionally to change the world around us. I think this brings up an interesting tension between teachers as content experts versus educational experts, which will come up throughout the rest of this podcast. The first section of the book, entitled The First Tradition. Here, the authors claim that design is a natural and ancient human activity, something we do naturally, but which has been pushed to the fringe by current analytic modes of thought. This is an interesting lens through which to view K-12 teaching. Doubtless, many would argue, and I think accurately, that teachers are modern paragons of this perspective. Nearly everything teachers do on a day-to-day basis, things like lesson planning, assessment creation, even something as mundane as making a seating chart, are all examples of intuitive design practice. In each of these examples, teachers face a goal and a myriad of constraints and considerations. When considering a lesson on the Holocaust, for example, teachers have the initial direct goal of having students walk away from the learning experience with an understanding of the event. But this means a lot of different things. Teachers must consider broader historical context, which things are important to know and which are just nice to know. What kind of learning experience? Is it a lecture, an inquiry discussion, a situated cognition activity? Are going to best reach the goal, etc. And finally, all this takes place within contextual constraints. How long do you have for these learning experiences? Are there Jewish students in your class that might be particularly sensitive to the content of the lesson? Does your school or district value a deeper dive into this kind of history content? Or are you more expected to give a kind of window tour through the timeline? Teachers have to consider all these elements of this process. Teachers are designers, but I think we can be better designers, which brings us to the second section of The Design Way. The second section of the book, titled Foundations, is just that, a discussion of the foundations of design as an intellectual tradition. In this section of the book, the authors define design as creating something real at the intersection of an ideal image and the real material constraints of the environment. In essence, we envision an ideal state and then work within the very real constraints of our context to achieve as close to that ideal as possible. This is, again, something teachers do every single day. We envision some ideal, say, all students knowing something, everything there is to know about the second industrialization of the United States broadly and deeply. And then they consider the constraints within which they must work. Time, resources, where learners currently stand. To design a learning experience, or a series of learning experiences, to get as many students toward as broad and deep an understanding as possible within the time and other constraints. But, putting aside for the moment the role constraints play in teachers' design, I think this is a good point to revisit that tension I mentioned earlier. The tension between teachers as content experts and teachers as educational experts. These two visions of teaching would produce very different visions for the ideal state towards which we would strive. In the case of teacher as content expert, the ideal state is the student simply knowing and being able to use the information. On the other hand, in the case of teacher as educational and curriculum development expert, we might instead consider the ideal to be some culminating learning experience that leverages stealth assessment principles such that learning takes place simultaneously with the fulfillment of some evaluation criteria, thereby maximizing instructional time and minimizing broadly unnecessary interruptions of instructions by, say, stopping to give a quiz or multiple choice test. Of course, it's worth noting that these two visions of teachers as designers are not necessarily mutually exclusive, but I've seen very few examples of both in one package. Nevertheless, it is certainly possible, something we'll explore now. The third section of the book, entitled Fundamentals, rolls out a few functions of deep design seen by the authors as integral to the field. The authors begin with the concept of desiderata, and then move on to interpretation, imagination, judgment, composing, and finally, craft and material. Desiderata simply refers to the trigger element that would set off the design process by naming the intentions and expectations of the design problem solution set. From there, the designer makes an interpretation about whether the goals are possible, given the constraints defined, and so on. But the interesting piece here, for our purposes, is the role of imagination in composition. I find these pieces of the process particularly interesting, because I think these are the places many teachers stumble as designers. It's almost axiomatic at this point that teachers teach in the way they themselves were taught. I worry that too few teachers are prepared to bring the full force of their imaginations to bear on the design problems they encounter on a day-to-day basis. Of course, much of this has to do with the constraints on their design process, things like not enough time to plan, pressure to raise standardized test scores, too many things on their plates. The constraints facing teachers as designers are seemingly unending. But perhaps the recognition that imagination can and should be used in the design problems of teaching is at least a step in the direction of finding solutions to the content delivery problem more creative than pretests, benchmarks, and multiple choice post-tests. Closely tied to imagination is the fifth fundamental the authors identify, composing. This, I would argue, is perhaps the most difficult fundamental to achieve within teaching as design. Many teachers have all kinds of great ideas about what and how their kids should learn and all the deep, interactive learning they might do with students throughout the year. But composing, that is, getting things in a design solution to stand together in a coherent way that works, is another organizational peril all its own. The fourth and final section of the book essentially revolves around the question of the good and evil of design work. The authors state that quite often design work creates new, unforeseen consequences. This is not at all dissimilar to the ways we intervene in the world around us. Technology interventions, for example, are quite well known for backfiring. The authors here, though, make a good point. It's not that we should be paralyzed by the possibility of our designs creating unforeseen consequences, but rather that we should be constantly on the lookout for opportunities to refine and improve our designs. So it is with teaching. Teachers as designers should be consistently in tune with the outcomes of their designs and reflective on how to improve them going forward. This is ultimately at the heart of teachers as designers, the vision and will to continually reflect and improve. All in all, The Design Way makes a solid case for the continued development of a design culture and offers insights on what it might mean to be designers in any field. Until next time, I'm Taylor Kessler.